Tasha Vayigash, the quote is the dramatic and tragic episode of the Mechira of Yosef by his brothers comes to a crescendo. And it comes to a crescendo in the very initial encounter between Yosef and Yehuda. So take a look at the beginning of the first few psukim. We'll read them. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Vayomer Bi Adoni. And what does he do? Yehuda basically painstakingly reviews all the central elements that were inherent in the dialogue between Yosef and his brothers. Pasuk Yutes. That's what you asked us. Do we have a father? Do we have a brother? And the response was, what do we answer? We have an elderly father. B'yeletz kunim katan, a young child of his old age. B'yachim meis, and a brother who died. Of course, as you know, Rashi comments right away, and the Chazal make mention of this. They were actually in a situation of what the Chazal call oyvim miyitzvi v'yodim miyotzvi. You familiar with that expression?
Catch 22.
Catch 22, exactly. That's exactly what the expression means. Catch 22. Oyvim miyitzvi. If I say one thing, I'm going to have problems. If I say something else, I'm going to have problems. That's called oyvim miyitzvi. Woe is to me from my yetzer. But on the other hand, woe is to me miyotzvi from my creator. So Rashi comments over here. You can take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Chav. Yochim neis. Nibnei ha-yira ha-yamotzi v'ashekem mipiv. Because simply he was frightened. So Yehuda therefore, what did he do? He lied. And he said, Omar, if I tell Yosef shehukaya, then my brother's alive. What is he going to say? Produce him.
So,
bring him, as he indicated. Correct.
And that's in
so he was according in an impossible situation. The reason why I'm mentioning this, again, just to continue, and he continues to recapitulate the dialogue. And so let's look at a little few more psukim. That's referring to Binyamin. No, Binyamin cannot leave father. Because the Abbas is Aviv Ameis, God forbid, he leaves father. The impact on father will be absolutely horrific. What did Yosef say? Don't come back without him. Nothing has happened. Tells go back. We need food. We're desperate. Only if Binyamin accompanies us, we can't come back without him. So what did Yaakov say to them? Yaakov, in a very emotional kind of response, says, he was devoured by wild beasts. You're going to take this one also? And then what's going to be? The nefesh of Yaakov Avinu was bound up with Binyamin. So, what's fascinating, there's one striking theme that I would say recurs throughout this recapitulation on the part of Yehuda, and that is the profound concern for an elderly father whose frail physical and psychological state are so vulnerable, any further shocks would totally and completely terminate his life. You see that very clearly. And this foreboding sense is expressed by Yehuda a number of times. Repeatedly, and he's took it at the very beginning of the parasha. Correct? Yeah.
Does Bami, does the Kavet necessarily refer to...
Literal.
It refers to... It doesn't necessarily refer to Yaakov, though. It doesn't specify.
Moshe's argument, Pasuk Chabez, that this Pasuk could either refer to Yaakov Avinu,
or
Binyamin. Chazal clearly understand is referring to Binyamin. I have to check to see whether the other possibility also exists.
But it does work well.
So, no question. No, that's what I'm saying. Basically, what I just pointed out, it certainly works well. Anyway, the point being, that Yaakov simply would not be able to handle it. So we have a rather lengthy monologue, soliloquy on the part of Yehuda. He's the one who's delivering this rather lengthy peroration. And by the way, he mentions the word father 14 times during his speech. I counted it. But the difficulty, of course, lies in what chiddush is Yehuda telling us? Chiddush meaning, what novel piece of information is he revealing that we're not aware of? All this information is already known to Yosef. And why in heaven's name would the Egyptian viceroy, the Mishnah Melech, second in command, autocratic and overlording, domineering and imperious, why should he have any forbearance to listen to this lengthy, impassioned, personal plea on the part of Yehuda that's totally unrelated to the burning issue on the docket? What is on the docket? The end of Parshas Vayikra, which is the story of what? The missing?
Coast.
The missing?
Coast.
The missing silver goblet found in the knapsack of Binyamin. And the brothers are called back to the palace to respond to the alleged act of thievery. Yehuda should have responded to those charges. That would be the correct response. Take a look at the end of the case for a second. Look at just the last few psukim. When they're called back, so Yosef says in Pasuk Tezvav, I am an expert in divination. And you think you could dupe me? Guilty as charged. That's basically what Yehuda says. And he nenu abadu ladoni gam anachtu gam ashanimza. Yosef says, no, chalil ali. Only the one that the Gabia was found in his knapsack, namely Binyamin, who he ever heard of. That's it. Go on your merry way. So, one would have thought that Yehuda should have responded to this, shall we say, back and forth. So what does Yehuda do instead? Yehuda launches into a rather lengthy soliloquy, as I said earlier, which is focused on Yaakov Avinu, on the fragile nature and vulnerability of Yaakov Avinu. Why? It's completely mystified. The Rav Zochem Lebracha responded to this. Let me just present the theory which Rav Soloveitchik propounded, which I'll be honest with you, to me is almost in the getter of Bahavdil, elementary, my dear Watson. That is to say, that even though according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the literalness of the text, only Yosef was aware of his brothers. If you recall, that's what the Pesukim say when they came down to Egypt. You remember that? Vayaki Yosef Esachav Miketz Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Ches Vei Lo Ikiru. Only he was aware of their identity. They were not aware of his identity. Of course, based on the famous Rashi, namely, that guess what? He grew a beard. Heretofore he had no beard, and now he had a beard and never didn't recognize him.
Hard to understand.
My father was shown, had much difficulty with that rush. Ephraim.
I think it would be, make more sense.
Has such a Baruch Hashem.
Luscious.
I think I'd recognize you with or without it.
I think he's been recognized
totally different.
I was wondering why Rashi didn't just say that since he was now a man. You could say when somebody's 17 years old and then he's now, what, 34? 30?
Unless they had him a sword for the...
Yeah, but you still have the same mannerisms.
Also, they would never expect him to be.
Number two, exactly. Mannerisms are the same.
Not being a
the way a person speaks, the gait of a person, G-A-I-T.
He was
a person in general, I would say, physiognomy does not change with or without a beard. And generally, his gestures, his gesticulation, his facial expressions.
That's not what Rashi said, though.
I understand, but not Rashi. I'm just pointing out, this is my father's shoulder, this is what he was born in. My father, for the life of him, did not understand. How is it, especially, there's a lot of, I'm going to explain further again, Rav Soloveitchik, so I just want to, let me just finish the point. So now, Pasuk says in Vayigash Lotan, Vayigash Lotan. So after this presentation, and I read a bit further in Pasuk Lamed Aleph in Vayigash. Here, Moshe, what do you say? This certainly refers to Vomeis, refers to Yaakov Avinu. Essentially, it will be all over for Yaakov Avinu. And Yehuda says, "Ki abdecha or sanar." Don't see in Bavasa. What kind of an Ur was he? Two types of Ur. That's a separate issue. Ki abdecha or sanar. Me and Rabbi Lamor. I promised. I told Father, I'm going to be the guarantor. I'm co-signing. I'm committing myself. Lo av yedu eylecha v'chatzasi lo av yikol hayamim. So therefore, I'm going to be in place of the Nar, in place of Binyamin, and let Binyamin go home. Ki eichel el avi lamadal v'anar yedu iti penere barua shekin tzolas avi chas v'sholom. What this impact, what this would do to Yaakov Avinu, achmol v'tzol. So the Torah says, Memhei, v'lo yachol yosu v'yisapeg, v'yikro tzikol ishmi oloi, v'yitin eskol v'vchi, v'yom yosef elecha, avi yosef. And you would see the Midrashim on this pasuk. Mind-boggling. Beis HaLevi has a separate discussion that I spoke about 2 years ago. But anyway, the Beis HaLevi is absolutely wondrous. Wondrous. You must see that Beis HaLevi. If you don't see any Beis HaLevi except for this one, you die to see this Beis HaLevi. That's what I'm referring to. Okay, I can't get into it now because I have a different mahalach. Anyway, so take a look at the Beis HaLevi, okay? Jesse, you'll look at it. V'lo yachu echo lanos oso ki niv halu mi panav. Can I just get the theory first? When Yossi reveals himself to his brothers, as I said, they are in a state of total shock. And you read the Midrashim and Rishonim on this pasuk, it's just astounding. The way Chazal, I can't do it right now, I just want to present Rav Soloveitchik's thesis. Rav Soloveitchik held that Yehuda's soliloquy was founded upon one hanocha, one premise, and that premise was that Yehuda sensed and perhaps even realized that before him was not a cold, calculating Egyptian monarch, but rather, who the Yehuda sensed was? Yosef, his own flesh and blood. Let me just one last statement, and then I will begin the discussion of Rav Soloveitchik on this topic. Go ahead.
Is it possible that he had, without even like noticing or a little Ruach HaKodesh, that it was Yosef, that he, Hashem just like did his mouth kind of?
Was it necessarily conscious?
It's also possible. Yes? Oh yeah.
Was it necessarily conscious awareness?
On the part of Yehuda? I mean, we don't have an indication in the text whether what you said is correct or what you're saying, Eli, is correct. But both positions could very well be credible and not in any way.
I don't mean conscious, like,
by the notion.
I don't think he would mention all these things specifically by Yaakov if it weren't conscious.
That's exactly. But Rav Soloveitchik went further. I just want to show you that he felt there is ample textual documentation to this hypothesis, to the notion that Yehuda was completely and totally aware that who was standing in front of him? Yosef. Let's start. I'll just bring a few rayas that the Rav brought. There are many, many rayas. They are literally, my father, Hashem, came to the same Maskana. So way before I heard the Rav speak on this matter, my father was convinced beyond convincing of this idea. And my father, Hashem, brought many rayas to this as well. I'll just mention a few. Let's start, let's say, from the very beginning with the dreams. If you remember the dreams, Yosef has two dreams. You are doubt that you call them. Beginning of Ayesha, right? Paraglav Zion, I believe it is. Dream number one, in Pasuk Zion, Paraglav Zion, Pasuk Zion. V'nei anachum ma'al ma'alub v'tok ha'sode, we're binding sheaves, v'nei kam alam wasi v'gam v'tzoga, and my sheave somehow was above, and all the other sheaves were bound down to my sheave. And right away, the brothers say to him, Ha'malok timloch aleinu, imoshal timshal banu. By the way, you know the Gaon. I mentioned the Gaon once. Ha'malok timloch, imoshal timshal. What's the difference between a melech and a moshel? A moshel is someone who is an autocrat, imperious, domineering, a demagogue, essentially. A melech, Chazal say, ein melech v'lo am. Melech is someone that his subjects accept his sovereignty or his sovereign powers and the like. So Yosef, in effect, was responded to by his brothers, Ha-melech, t'imloch alem. You think you're going to be someone who will be a melech, that we're going to accept your, shall we say, kingship? Furthermore, Yimashal Tim Shabani, you think you're going to dominate us? You're going to be an overlord? An overweening kind of fashion? Well, you see, we'll know some. And then we have, of course, the second, the second dream. And that is, of course, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowing down. The reaction of the brothers, as we notice over there, initially the reaction is one of, the Torah describes it, Sina. And then the reaction afterwards in Pasuk it out, Vayikanu Bo'echa. However, the Pasuk says, V'oviv Shomar Esadovar. Rashi comments, Oviv Shomar Esadovar, Yaakov Avinu was waiting for this to come to fruition. The Ramban, Ala Torah, you are familiar with. Ramban is a famous kasha. I mentioned this in the Shir, on the Ramban Shir. Perhaps not. Perhaps yes. And why did Yosef send a letter to his father saying that he was alive? His father was in Tsar. By Yisabel Abelot Yamin Rabin, how could Yosef simply ignore his father?
He's waiting for the dreams to come true.
Answered the Ramban, Yosef was waiting for his Nebuah, for his dreams to come to fruition. Is that a basis for being Mitzahar one's father? For not being kind of Mitzvah, keep it up, eh?
The bottom right here.
The rest of you not understand what I'm saying?
So this issue, no? Perhaps explain it?
Are you going to explain now or after?
No, after.
I'm telling you, it's completely insane.
Let's continue. When the brothers of Yosef come down to Mitzrayim to purchase grain, the Torah testifies to the fact that the moment he espied them, the moment he saw them, right away he identifies them. They didn't recognize him. We mentioned a moment ago. And after intimidating them and accusing them of being spies, Yosef says, of course, Miraglim Atem, you recall the Psukim. Look in the Perek Membeis. Test. You are spies. Liros esevasa or esbasim. You came to see the, to spy out the land. They said, no. We simply came to purchase grain. And they went through the whole story about their family history. And how does Yosef interpret that? You doubt it? No. Who are you? It's exactly what you are. Spies. Members of Shabak. CIA types.
Mossad.
You better. Pasuk says what? Bezos tibachenu. Okay, let me test you. Bring your brother. Shulchan kemechal pasuk tezayin. Yikar esafichem. V'atem heyosru. You will be incarcerated. V'ibachanu tibachem. Let's see. It's telling the truth. What does he do? He puts them in prison for 3 days. Pasuk tezayin. Then the third day, v'yam alayim yosef, v'yam ashlishi. Zos asu b'chiyu. This you shall do, and you will live. Eselokim ani arei. I'm a God-fearing person. So Yosef incarcerates them for 3 days, and then what does he propose? He proposes that one of the brothers remain with him under house arrest, while the other brothers return home to bring with them Binyamin. Of course, at that juncture, what do the brothers do? They express profound remorse. Unbelievable remorse. Take a look at the pasuk, Chaf Aleph. If he tells them they should bring Binyamin, Vayomer ish al achiv, aval Hashem manachnu al achinu, asher ra'inu tzaras nafsho b'schanu alenu v'lo shamanu, al kein bo alenu atzaras. By the way, they're trying to figure out, why is Hashem doing this to them? So quickly, jacuz, they point a, shall we say, an accusing finger at themselves, but what have they pointed? What specific, shall we say, aspect of their behavior was not in order? So what did they answer? They were desensitive. They were pashut, were completely and totally insensate, insensitive to the plight of a brother. When he was where? B'yischan no eleinu. When was that? Said the Ramban in the boar. They threw him to a boar. Meal, they go to have a meal. They're throwing him into a boar. He is clearly suffering. They didn't commiserate with him. Absolutely, literally, without rachmanus, below shamanu. Tzaras nafsho, apparently he was crying. The Ramban, that's all the Ramban I'm reading, as I'm saying to you in the psukim. Okay, boiling, not tzaras. By the way, Rabbeinu Bachayi has a dig in this pasuk which is also mind-boggling. Only your Mishnayim could say the things that they say. What do you see in this pasuk, Rabbeinu Bachayi?
They don't regret putting him in the boar.
1 second. Almost there. Asheinim anachnu. They clap on al-chet. But for what? For selling him now? So that means they didn't sell him.
For the board?
They didn't sell him. The board, yes. But they didn't sell him. How do you know that? Take a look at the psukim. How Rabbi Mechai reads the psukim.
The board, they see.
Oh, excellent. Good, good. Take a look at the psukim when Yosef actually is sold into slavery, which is in Parshas Vayeshev. So take a look over there. You'll see that Perek Lamed Zayin. Let's read something from your test. Vayomer Rishon Lo Tivini Barach Alamus Al Hazeba. The father sends him on a mission, and they said, "Oh, look who's coming! The dreamer is here." The Atalahu Ben Argeu. Let's kill him. Ben Ashrichir Biachar Baros. Let's throw him into one of the pits. And what will we say? Chayewa Chalosi was devoured by a wild animal. Vinir Bayu Chalavosa. Vayishma Ruben. You would try to save him. No, no. Let's not do that. Don't shed blood, chas v'shalom. Throw him into a pit. Beyond al tishchuk bo. Let's not, God forbid, do anything to him personally. Laman, Rose Rubin's intent, the Torah testifies, he wanted to save Yosef and his brothers. Now look at the next series of psukim. Vayikav shebo Yosef alecha. They removed his son as passing. And chavdal, as you said, vayikachu vayashrich al sa'abora. Ba'abor reikin bo mayim. And now they go on to eat their, shall we say, midday meal. Vayishu lecha lecha. And guess what? Vayisu v'neim vayu v'nerochas Yishmaelim. There's a caravan of Yishmaelim that come from Gilad, and they're carrying very sweet scented spices. Vayom Yehuda lecha ma betzer get out of Yisachinu v'chisinu as domo. Yehuda suggests, lechu v'nim karevu la Yishmaelim. Suggests, Yehuda, let us sell him to the Yishmaelim. Yodin al tido, because that's our brother. Vayishu lecha. They heard what he had to say. Did they sell him? Says Avinu v'chai. Look at the next pasuk. Guess what? While they're eating their lunch, guess what happens? Midyanim Socharim appear in the scene. Vayim Shechu, Vayaru Siyasim in Abor, Vayim Kru Siyasim Ishmael Mesim Kaset, Vayavir Siyasim Yitzroyo. And this takes place unbeknownst to whom? To the brothers.
So who did they give the money to?
There are many Mefarshim.
Achtalon Pustinu, thank you very much.
Along those lines. The Mefarshim who have massive discussions. How many times was Yosef sold? Who sold him? By the way, Ben Abachai learns. They didn't sell him. A group of Midyanim, Socharim, came, pulled Yosef out of the boar, sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim Besim Kosef, and bring Yosef to the tribe. And Rabbi Abachai, how does he know that? From this passage back here in Parshas Miketz, namely, where Chavalev, Perek Membeis Pasuk Chavalev, where they are clapping al chet means to Judah, say vidui. What are they saying vidui for? Only not for selling Yosef, but rather Asher Inu Saras Nafsho Bischan Elor Deinu Velo Shemar. Wow, what a Rishon could do.
Also, Laman Zayin Chavtes.
Laman Zayin Chavtes, which I assume you're referring to, the passage that deals with the question of the Pesukim again.
For who he goes back to the board?
By Yashu Ben Alabor Vinay Yosef Abor. That makes a lot of sense. Quote of the Bechai. Exactly. That's one of his writings, by the way. Vinay Yosef Abor. Guess what? Yosef is not there. By Yikras Begola. Hayelon Enenu Vahanoi Onan Ivo. He was beside himself. But they didn't do it. Of course, what is the problem with this pshat that Rabbi Bechai expresses that he's been dying from Suki? It's not that he's... How do Chazal see it? Chazal did not see it that way. The brothers are indicted for from Mechiras Yosef. According to Chazal. Where do we see that, by the way? Ashkenazim have the piyut, but it's Father Mosad. Asara Harugim Malchut. Do you recall what's in the Asara Harugim Malchut? And Yushalmi says, Meshachochim calls Yushalmi, goes down at Sof Kol Adorot. That we are taken to task for two chatoyim, the Cheta Egel, and the other one is the Cheta Mechiras Yosef. My Rebbe, Yatsido Kedatapsky, Zatzal, used to say, we have a pasuk. May Hashem bless you. Ki ata solchan Yisrael, the machon and shita Yisroel, b'chol dor b'dor, refer to these two chatoim. Ki ata solchan Yisrael, Hashem forgave Kal Yisrael. V'yom Hashem salachti kidvarecha. For what chet? Chet ha'egam. Pash kisisa. U'machon and shita Yisroel, b'chol dor b'dor, for the chet dog, b'chirat Yosef. So we assume that b'chirat Yosef is done by the brothers. What does Rabbeinu B'chayi do with, by the way, he discusses the Asar Ugi Malchut at the end of Parashas Miketz. Okay, you take a look at that if you have time. I can't discuss it right now. I'm just simply, let me just say one more thing. So, the Torah tells us that when all this takes place, look at the Pasuk in Miketz again. They didn't know that Yosef understood what was going on because there was what? A Meturgamah, Ki Amelitz. A member of the Nine Nations was present. Amelitz Ben Esau. And the assumption was that the interpreter had left and Yosef didn't understand Hebrew. Okay.
Were they talking Hebrew? It's not necessarily, no, I get the Torah question.
Well, if so, wouldn't they wonder how the Meturgamah knows
Hebrew? One second, there's a Rashi.
Hebrew.
There's a Rashi. You know the Rashi.
What's the difference?
Excellent. Where do we see that?
Oh, that's okay.
I'm sorry?
Membeis.
Yeah. Chav Gimel v'hem lo yadu ki shomer Yosef. The simple pshat, Rashi says, exactly as Ben indicated, that the Melitz, the interpreter, knew both Ivri and Mitzri, but the Melitz, the Brehem, the Yosef, the Dibri Yosef, the Hem. So they thought that Yosef did not know Lashon Hebrew. It was Menashe, according to Rashi. He quotes from Chazal. He was the interpreter. But there are other... there are other writes to this. I'm not going to get to it right now. However, Rasalech continued and said, which brother is placed under house arrest? So Rashi quotes Chazal. Which brother? Shimon. Why? Says Rashi, because he was the one who characterized Yosef when they saw him coming on the mission from his father. Hine Baal HaChalomot HaLazeh Ba. Who said that? Shimon. The dreamer is here. The dreamer is coming. He was the one who cast him into the pit. He also decided, I got to separate him from his partner. His partner being?
Levi.
Lest the two conspire, and we know what they're capable of doing. Yeah.
Our topic, but the word halazet.
You're asking an excellent question. By the way, what pasuk is found? Is it found in over here?
Was it your tent?
Where are you reading right now?
Where is it? Halachalamadazet.
What parak?
Parak Lamazan.
Lamazan, I thought you referred to that. So there, what does it say? Parak Lamazan,
pasuk.
Halazet. What does that mean? Judaism. Actually being omen at a very significant term. What's the pshat of that? Hine bal hachalomot halozeh. He's 100% right. What should he have said? Hine bal hachalomot hazeh. What's that halozeh?
Don't we see it also with Rivka Nisra?
Excellent. Mi ha'yish halozeh ha'olech ha'sadadik ha'sein ha'vayam ha'am ha'adonet. That's exactly what I was thinking of this very second before you even uttered it. At the end of Parshas Vayisro. Remember that? What's that language? Mi'o'ish ha'lozeh. Okay, I want you, I like the analogy of the drawing. Please tell me what the maskana is. Think about it a few minutes. And then my father, Mashon, by the way, was into this. He was very bothered by that lashon. Mi'o'ish ha'lozeh. Very striking. Meisha, you see that problem? And Judah right away refers you to the Pesukim Chayisar. Okay, yes, what do you want to say? Yeah, so you say that? So
in our parashat Vayigash, when Yosef, Hatzal, it says, Ani Yosef ha'olalichai, right? One thing he asks him, if Yaakov Avinu was still alive in the last parasha too, why wouldn't he say Od Avinu Chai while referring to him?
Well, we sing that song. Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai, but I'm not sure what that has to do with this.
No.
But your question is a good question. Chazal, when he talked about this, well, he just A few moments ago.
Yeah, just ask him.
Correct. What the maskana is based on the two psukim that you just quoted to me. You'll think about it and you'll tell me shortly. Anyway, where else I up to? Oh, isn't it striking that Yosef Dafka knows whom to place under house arrest? Dafka Shimon. That did, shall we say, cause the, did arouse the...
That's him in order also.
Okay, I'll get to that in a second. There's so many rayas. Very good, Danny. Excellent. Now you're on the case.
It's only a raya with hindsight.
Each one is only a raya. But when you take the confluence of all of them, and with all due respect, Jason, I just want to mention, so now when the money is returned to their sacks, again, there's a reaction, if you remember, is replete with apprehension and tension. If you remember, how do the brothers see everything? They see everything the way a Jew should see things.
Hashem.
Everything is Yad Hashem. And clearly, Ribbono Shel Olam operates, and every single action that occurs to us, we have to react the way the brothers react. What's up? I'm just showing them psukim that they see the divine handwriting on the wall, except the only problem is they cannot precisely identify its source. And the Vayetzei Libom, the Pasuk says, Vayachedu Ish Elokim, Ish Elokim, Leimor, Mazos, Asa Elokim, Lomer, what has Hashem done to us? And again, when they return to Egypt, again, Yosef's immediate initial question to them revolves around the welfare of Yaakov Avinu, constantly asking about the welfare of their father. Shouldn't that also, shall we say, arouse some curiosity? Why is this guy concerned about the elderly father? And again, their affirmative response essentially exhausts the dialogue between them. But then Danny alluded to just something else now, if you remember, which is really even more astounding. The Torah says in the end of the case, Perek Mem Gimel, look at the end of Mem Gimel, suddenly Yosef, guess what? Suddenly decides to feed his brothers, F-E-T-E, at a state dinner. Where am I referring to? Sukkim Perek Mem Gimel. Pasuk Lamed Beis. And then, as Danny pointed out correctly, guess what? At this state dinner, there is place seating. Place seating. The way we're invited, we are placing. So it's true. The Torah says, they're a little bit taken aback. How does this guy host the reception in their honor? And that's also amazing. He's clearly, there's some schizophrenia on the part of this chap. First, he accuses of being Meraglim, with Shabak people, Mossad, and he's busy incarcerating us, and then Shimon on the house arrest, and then a few moments later, he's hosting a state dinner, and guess what? Place seating. Not only that, look what the Torah says from them. They are trading gifts. Wow, what a cordial, nice atmosphere. Of course, Binyamin receives five times the gift that everyone else receives. But then even more astounding, said the Rav Zichin Levracha, guess what? Vayishnu vayishkiru imo. Please translate. They become drunk. They're intoxicated with it. The viceroy of Egypt totally loses self-control.
Why didn't he give up his identity then?
Sorry?
Why didn't he give up his identity then?
Why did?
Why didn't he give up his identity then?
Because he attacked us. He would have said something crazy.
I'm saying, why didn't, if he were drunk?
Oh, he wasn't.
I shouldn't.
It's a good question. Maybe they got drunk.
Maybe they're
both. No, Rashi says.
Oh, let me just, one more. Let me just summarize. Okay, there are many other riots. My father's
another riot.
Another riot.
Is it possible that in Mem Beis you decide?
Let me find it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It might throw them off that the second in command of Mitzrayim is a God-fearing person.
Correct. The language of Yosef, that's what my father was showing us on to. Look at the language of Yosef. Everywhere, Dani is correct. Beautiful. everywhere. Actually, also speak. He doesn't exactly speak like someone who's a viceroy of Egypt. I'm a God-fearing person. Now, one might argue that, if you recall, Paro Melech Mitzrayim also, shall we say, in the course of appointing Yosef, he also used the Shem Elohim a fair number of times. You remember, I spoke about it, actually. It's in the Psukim, if I didn't speak about it. But unquestionably, Egypt is not exactly a God-fearing country. And Yosef talks in a different language. By the way, Chazal said, the Gemara Tzukah, the Gemara, the end of Tzukah, the last half. The Gemara says, Shusa di Inuka, O da Abo di Ima. The conversation of a child either reflects whom? His mother or his father. That's very true. No question about it. So here we have a state dinner, place seating. They're intoxicated. And guess what happens a second later? Right after this pasuk. Pasuk Gimel in Perek Mem Daled, the enemy case. Haboker or Marm Sochim. That pays of an hour. Translate. It doesn't say that Yosef sent them off. But rather, they were expelled. Because in the morning there's a regaining of consciousness on the part of Yosef, and the brothers are expelled. Of course, once again, they are returned to the palace under the accusation of what? Of thievery, of heisting Yosef's goblet. So just to summarize, there is a schizophrenia that is rather apparent in the paradoxical behavior of this viceroy. He employs intimidation, fright, harsh accusatory language, vindictiveness, but simultaneously he demonstrates moments of empathy, intimate concern with their father, the plight of an elderly, aged, fragile individual. So I'll let you say.
Thank you,
Bashad. One second. Yehuda's powerful and impassioned oration all suggested intuitively he sensed that the viceroy of Egypt standing in front of him was none other than his long-lost brother Yosef, and that's why the unbelievable preoccupation with the welfare of Yaakov Avinu. Since then, I heard this probably about 45 years ago, but I heard beforehand from my father, Shalom. But till I heard it from the Rav, what could I say? He sort of gave it an imprimatur of Mishpanka. Yes?
Is it possible...
I'll make a bracha.
Based off what the Rashiya said and the Shitosa with the Ramban of how Yosef was trying to be mekayim the dreams, and we know in the Gemara Baruch that it discusses that a dream goes off its interpretation. So just like the brothers interpreted as Hamalach to Malach Le'im and Shol to Mishol Banu, is that first Yosef had to act like the Mashal, and like had to be very strict and very very strong against them, and then later on he acted like the Hamalach to Malach and very comforting and very taking them in.
But he keeps going back and forth.
Okay.
Then, hand in hand.
I feel well. Yes.
If all it took to hide Yosef was a beard, then why couldn't Yaakov just send down like other people that weren't his sons without having to send Binyamin? They asked to bring Binyamin, right?
Vayakel Yosef Esecha. He obviously saw through that.
No, but
the problem is they didn't see through it.
But if all they wanted,
so they don't know it's Yosef, then why don't they just send Yosef, one of the other kids?
Yosef hasn't been in his father's house.
Why wouldn't Reuben or Yehuda say, "I'll just take one of my kids"? Why would Reuben say, "I mean, obviously he didn't actually even kill, according to most of them, kill my two kids"?
Yosef know?
Well, they don't know that Yosef would know.
And I'm sure there's family.
If they didn't think it was Yosef, they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Have I hear the hour. It's a good hour. Yeah.
In terms of the question around Daniel Bechaye, the son of Reuben was the his kind of was that they violated Lo Tignum, no? So it's not necessarily.
No, the name of the Foshas.
Yeah, that's
correct. The name of the Foshas is Lo Tignum of the Aser Sanhedrin.
Right.
Correct. Well, the other Lo Tignum of thievery is found in the Kedoshim. And the Lo Tignum of Aser Sanhedrin is abduction.
Right. Right. So they abducted him and put him in the boards. It doesn't necessarily mean they sold him.
Good. Excellent. That's, by the way, the answer to the kasha. Excellent. We shouldn't miss the kasha. Rabbi Mechai himself is, trust me, aware of Chazal. I don't have to make him aware of Chazal. You've never seen Chazal that it was ever written. Yeah.
Did Yosef do all this weird behavior, the paradoxical behavior on purpose?
Ain't shum safek. And that I have a whole other shiur. Ain't shum safek. There's a din.
You wanted to let
quoted,
you know.
There's a din quoted. It's actually, this is mashia from the Ramban also. If you learn Ramban carefully, that Yosef clearly there was a very clear kind of tochnit on his part. And that was, since you are suggesting it already, what was the tochnit of Yosef? And why did he permit himself to do what he did and also continue l'chura to be mitzayir his father by not informing his father what happened? And the answer is because what was his intention in the entire process was to bring about
the dream. That's what I want to say. That's what I,
go ahead.
When I said Lo v'shamayim here before, what I meant.
Oh, I didn't know what you meant. Yeah,
what I meant to say was that somewhat of a stress that he was subscribing to the word of Hashem and acting on the word of Hashem versus the timeless commandment of kibbutz.
Okay, that is also 1,000% correct. That's what I'm about to say.
As I'm saying, so like he was choosing.
But again, I'm asking, is that sufficient? That's what we spoke about. Are those grounds for a person to buy the kibbutz? Because I had a nevuah that I want to be realized to come to fruition, I can violate the kibbutz avayim beside my father. I'm asking Al Pi Halacha. That's what we discussed.
That's why I said.
I'm sorry, you and I spoke about it. I just forgot about it.
It's Hashem's word versus His Torah that says that He said. So it's directly from Hashem or Torah.
Outside Eretz Yisrael.
That's what you're suggesting. That's what Eli is suggesting.
Outside Eretz Yisrael.
Rosh Hashiva, see what I'm saying in terms.
Yes, I do. I hear you. A lot of chidushim are being said here. But the matter has to be examined carefully. Okay, I tell you the truth. I could stop now, but I really have another thing to say. Shall I continue?
Good question.
Do you mind? Sure. And I'm taking away your zman.
Good question. Is it
working? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did the brothers not say, hey, like what a coincidence is that happens to be Yehuda recommended to sell them? They go out for lunch and like, what do you know he sold? Like, is that, you know, not a crazy coincidence for them?
Again, that's another very significant aura. What?
Well, they don't know he was sold.
Yeah, exactly. Is that very good? Very good. Another, very significant aura? Is your raising? I just want to, let me add a few more minutes, if I may. I just want to point out the following. You are aware, Rashi quotes some Chazal, and I have a midrashim that I wrote down for myself. Chazal indicate that it's clear that Yaakov, from his perspective, whom did he see as being the one who's going to transit the Masara? Yosef. Yosef was the one, that's why he gave the son his passing, according to the Sforno, according to many other Bafarshim. And there's no question that Yosef felt a kinship with his father, a bonding with his father that was astounding. I think I mentioned already a few times that I heard in a number of his faithen for Hagoyim and Moshe Twersky Zatzal, Shem Yim Kendomo, that Rav Soloveitchik said that this grandson, he saw him as the Hemshech of Rav Chaim. I heard this from Rabbi Meiselman Shlita. I heard it from a few others as well, from a number of people who made this comment, who heard this from Rabbi Soloveitchik. It's clear Yaakov saw Yosef as being the Hemshech, and there's no question there's a bond and empathy between Yaakov and Yosef. We're talking about not just a father-son relationship, but I would say it was perhaps even more so.
How did he view all the other brothers?
Relationship of the highest level.
How did he view all the other brothers? Did he think that it was going to be like Esav or Yishmael in terms of the fact that they wouldn't be a continuation?
All the other brothers, Kol Echad and Shum Safek, each one has a very significant role that we see from the brachas that were given by Yaakov at the end of Parshas Vayechi. Each one has a particular tchum. But in terms of the one who is Mishamish's father, similar to the relationship of Yoshua ben Nun to Moshe Rabbeinu, similar to the relationship of Elisha to Eliyahu HaNavi, he is the Talmud par excellence. By the way, again, this is the nature of how Yaakov saw things. And we see, by the way, that Yosef is very, very submissive regarding his son, regarding his father. He's the dutiful son par excellence. And as I said, what's even more amazing to me, when Yosef has his dream, so the pasuk says here again, the Avim Shamar Sadavar. Yaakov Avinu was waiting for those dreams to come to fruition. A dream is in the Nebuah, the Gemara says, and was waiting for them to come to fruition. And not only that, There's one aspect of Yosef which is exemplary. Namely, his fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim. Here he's dispatched by his father to go to Shechem, which Rashi says, by the way, is a Makom Sakona, correct? And we have a Shechem has a history of being Makom Sakona. Guess what? Arayom Azeh. What do they call it in English?
Nablus.
Nablus. Makom Sakona Shein Kamo. Nothing has changed. And what does Yosef respond? He knows that he's going to a Makom Sakona. He knows that there's Sinah and Kinah. He responds, Vayomer lo, he tells his father, Hineni. What does Hineni mean?
Here I am.
Zrizus. And then, as I mentioned already 2 weeks ago, that when he comes in the area of Shechem and he's unsuccessful locating his brothers, suddenly he meets this mysterious Ish. And he could have, as the Ramban indicates, he could have gone back. No, he continues. The Rashbam also, take a look. The Svarno also writes, notes he has an overarching sense of mission and fealty to Kibbutz Avayim. He knows there was an obeisance to his father that epitomized the outer limits of Kibbutz Avayim. As a matter of fact, the subsequent tragedy, the sale of Yosef into slavery and the grief of Yaakov Avinu, the way the Torah describes it in a very graphic kind of way, that Yaakov for 22 years was separated from Yosef, the sense of despair is overwhelming. Now, let's take a look in this week's Parsha again, and I'll share with you what I once heard in the Shlucha, in the Shmuz, from Hagoy Nachayim Shul Levi Zatzal. I used to go to Shmuz in 1971-72. If you look at the Pesukim, when Yosef reunites with his brothers, and once again, Yosef, what does he do? He presents an invitation to his brothers and the whole family to come to Mitzrayim to settle there. Yosef himself, by the way, if you remember, he harnesses his chariot to meet his father in Goshen. Once again, the Kibbutz Avayim. There's a perplexing Rashi in Vayigash on the pasuk of Vayesof Yosef Merkavta, which is right here in this week's Pasha. Take a look at this pasuk for a second. Yosef harnesses the chariot to meet his father. Perek Memvav Pasuk Chaptes. Vayeso Yosef Merkato Vayam Ukras Yisrael Oviz Goshna. Here Moshe, listen to this. By Yera Elov. He appeared before him. Who appeared before whom? Secondly, Vayipo Al Tzavoro. He fell on his neck. Who fell on whose neck? Vayek Al Tzavoro Vod. He wept on his neck. Excessively. Who wept on whose neck excessively? Is it clear from the text? No. What do they call this in English?
Ambiguity.
No. Of course there is an ambiguity, but there's a specific language that's used. A dangling modifier. I taught once English.
Wait, is it the words? Is it the words? Is it the words that could be interpreted either way?
Yes, it's unclear. Specifically. Very unclear. Whom the references are, you see what I'm saying? Rashi has a comment in Pasuk, right over there, in Pasuk Hattes, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yaakov lo nafal al tzabre Yosef. Yaakov did not fall on the neck of Yosef, lo nashaku, he didn't kill him. He did the chas v'shalom. He did kiss him. The Yom Rabbah Seinu, why did he kiss him? He was saying Kriya Shema. And that Rashi, trust me,
One second.
That Rashi engendered a halachic technical of ma'arechet. This Rashi. You cannot imagine the pulpit that I said in this Rashi. I can't get into that right now. But let me just finish my point before you speak. So Rashi, as I said, cryptically, has a comment. And Rashi says, I didn't read this part of Rashi, but Rashi says, Vayera Elov, Yosef Nira Eloviv, Yosef appeared to his father. What novel idea is Rashi suggesting? It's obvious that Yosef appeared to his father. They haven't seen each other. Now they're suddenly together, Ephraim. Of course he appeared to his father. And the comment is also true. Yosef appeared to Yosef. Yaakov appeared to Yosef. Said Abchaim Shulevitz, a good Abchaim Shulevitz Zatzal, suggested the following. He said the reunion had two goals. One was Yosef, that the 20 years of separation, was longing to see his father, obviously. But two, Yaakov wanted to see his long-lost son. Elcha v'yarenu b'terem amos. Let me see him before I die. What Rashi is suggesting, said Abchaim Shulevitz Zatzal, Yosef so much wanted to please his father and give him nachas ruach that he completely subordinated his own pleasure in order that only his father should derive pleasure for that encounter. That's how he interpreted the Rashi. Yosef nira elohim. His intention was to maximize his father's nachas ruach and minimize his own. So we're astounded by the self-control and surrender exhibited by Yosef in order to please his father. And of course, this is the ultimate and optimal fulfillment of what mitzvah? Keep it away. Yes.
Is there any comparison between this encounter between Yaakov and Yosef over here, and between Yaakov and Esav and Lamed Gimel Dalet?
So in what sense?
It uses the same lashon of Vayipol Atzavarav, but by Esav it says Vayipol Atzavarav Vayeshakev Vayivku. Here it just says Vayipol Atzavarav Vayivk. Similar lashon. Vayipol Atzavarav is.
You know very well that Chazal have what to say about that.
Right.
Rashi on the spot with Rebbe to Esav that really he wanted to bite him. But what happened? His neck became hard. Am Sheyoref. Gemara says in Beitza that Am Yisrael Azin Shabumos. We are the toughest of all the nations of the world. You're right. There is certainly room for analogy, but there is also room to clearly distinguish between the two encounters. Okay, my point with all this was simply to show you that Yosef's Kibbutz Avraham is exemplary and his personality is really identified with this to the fullest. A few more minutes. Is that all right? I know I'm over time. Jason, I apologize. Maybe I'm not Jason. Thank you very much. I told you a few moments ago, and this is what we spoke about, so I will take the opportunity since you're here, you've honored us with your presence, Baruch Hashem, that the question that is, to me, a stupendous question. Okay, Yosef had visions, Yosef had dreams, the dreams of Nebuah, of being a melech, etc., etc. You have not responded yet. Hinei bal hachalomot halozeh. I'm waiting.
He's thinking.
You're thinking.
He's getting his nevuah.
Thinking, Captain.
So we said, in order for the dreams to be realized, Yosef had to orchestrate both the brothers coming down to Egypt and Yaakov coming down to Egypt. That's why he didn't tell his father. But my father, Shalom, was perplexed by this. How is it possible that Kibbutz Avraham should be overridden? That should have been his dominant concern. So I told my father, Zecher Livracha, the following approach.
Long run, short run.
What?
Long run, short run.
That's an approach, by the way, what you are suggesting. But I want to then, like, just maybe this is what you had in mind. I'm not 100% sure yet. When the brothers conspired to kill Yosef, if you remember, Reuben was the one who saved them by suggesting that Yosef be thrown into a pit. And the Torah says that Reuben was very cognizant of his responsibility as the Bechor. And as you know, Chazal tell us, you're aware of this. Matter of fact, my brother Shlita, the one that you know, I don't know how to deal with him. But he's very into the Gemara Ksubis. Kabeina Savicha Vesimecha Es Rabba Savicha Agol. So, my brother is very mechabed myself, and very mechabed my older brother, and also he was certainly mechabed my older brother, Zechen Lebrach, who passed away. Tremendous kavod. Where does that come from? That obligation. Okay, it comes from S. The Gemara says it's S. S, the Rabbis of Chicha Agoto. Very nice S. My brother comes to me, actually, every Yom Tov. Why? Why does he come to visit me? I like it. I'm not against it. He says it for two reasons. Chayav Adam Machabi Das Rabba Beregel.
Does he walk?
He's obligated to Machabi his Rebbe. I'm certainly not growing to be his Rebbe. Bechlal, granting he's my Rebbe. And two, is a Gemara. Kabi, yes! Before I came to Eretz Yisrael, any time I used to visit here, which was came out every year, I used to visit my parents, Alei Mashalom. Who met me at the airport? My brother, Shlita. Why? He said, Kabi Nesavicha Vesimecha, the Rabbi Zachicha Agoda. Every single time. By the way, my brother has no car. Doesn't travel by taxis. How does he go from Yerushalayim to the airport?
Lareya.
That was interesting.
Especially
because
it's true.
Kimak! Where does that obligation emanate from? Where does it come from? The answer is, because the Bechor, again, you learn on Banzal Atera, you see this very clearly. What function does the Bechor have in the family? The Bechor. Are you the Bechor?
No.
Anyone here the Bechor? Oh. What function does the Bechor have in the family? The answer is the Bechor is a kind of...
intermediary.
No.
A role model,
correct. The Ramban says in Chumash. A kind of surrogate father to his siblings. And that's why the Torah probably legislated the doctrine of primogeniture. You're familiar with that?
Yes.
Where the firstborn receives Pishnai?
That's a form of land devolvement in Britain.
I'm sorry?
That's a form of land devolvement in Britain.
Does anyone know what
inheritance
is?
Okay. Let me just examine for a few moments the personality of Reuven. Reuven is the Bechor. You're familiar with the fact that, I'll try to do this relatively quickly, but I probably won't succeed. The Torah singles out Reuven on several occasions. If you remember, in Parsha Vayechi, Reuven is jacuz. Yaakov tells him, Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar, he was impetuous. I don't have my glasses.
That's not my import.
I don't have my glasses.
I got a few.
Shalom Aleichem, how are you?
I'm really, how are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, Arena Rabbeinu. I told Rabbi Fuchs, I'm willing to donate some of my girth to your son.
Thank you.
I was about him every single day. Every single Tfilah. Adam Mazet. I hope I'm allowed to. I hope we'll end soon so Hashem will give me a full shreds of the girl.
Is Rabbi going on for a while?
He's the cutest little thing I've seen in a long time.
He's
going to be here for a while? Generally, I'm not really long-winded.
That's why I asked.
It probably will be a few more minutes.
I'll see you tomorrow.
He has a good sense of humor.
Is his son cuter than
Rashid's
grandchildren?
Just answer. What is the Torah talking about when Yaakov Avinu points the finger at Reuven in Parshas Vayechi? You mounted your father's bed, you desecrated my couch. So of course it refers to the incident mentioned in Vayishlach, if you recall. Vayelach Reuven, Vayishkav is Bila Pinega Shavit, says Rashi. After the death of Rachel, Reuven was hurt. Yaakov, his father, moved his bed to the tent of Bila, rather than to Leah's tent. Reuven saw this as an affront to his mother. He was worried about Kibbutz. Rashi calls it on the spot. I'm not going to read the entire Rashi. And then we decided to move Yaakov's bed to Leah's tent. The Torah describes it, ki'ilu, it was an act of adultery. That's a second mention of Reuven. The third mention, of course, you know the story of the Dudoyim. The Dudoyim is an impossible story. What is going on over there? You know the mandrakes? Vayelech Reuven, yimek tzir chitim, vayitza Dudoyim basodeh, vayodeh asom aleya imo.
So they like Yaakov holds Reuven accountable for doing that in front of Rachel, right? And he was whatever, 10 years old, right? Something like that at the time. And Yosef, he doesn't hold accountable at all for all his actions that he does in front of his brothers when he's 17.
Very good question. One moment. Let me just discuss Reuben first, and I'll get to your issue. Namely, I'll mention also one more matter. Reuben is found the fourth time. We just spoke about it. Namely, Reuben plays a significant role. Mechias Yosef, he saved him from death. What's the underlying core of all these scenarios regarding Reuben? So Reuben was not present at the moment of the actual sale of Yosef. Had he been there, maybe he could have prevented it from happening. Where was he? So Rashi says, Rashi has two explanations. One explanation is, Osu koyu b'sakhu b'tan yisov. What was he doing? He was doing tshuva. Asher bilbil yitzua yavid. Because he defiled his father's bread. What's the statement tells? Why should Reuben, dafka, that critical moment, when Yosef's fate is in abeyance, he should be repenting over an incident that occurred so much earlier? So I heard from Soloveitchik Zatzal the following explanation. He said Reuben was a very sensitive, loyal, and devoted son to his mother Leah. He had unusual powers of observation. He sensed the suffering and stress of his mother Leah. As a matter of fact, from the very incoherent moment that we encounter Leah, how she portrayed? With great pathos. Veine Leah Rakos, the Torah says. Her eyes were tender. What does Rashi say? She was worried that she's going to end up with a shidduch. With whom? Esau. The Torah describes also that Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah. Of course, it doesn't mean Chas v'Shalom says Rabban. By Yahar Hashem, he saw Leah that she was hated, but relative to Rachel, that's what the Torah means. God forbid we should hate anyone, any Jew, and certainly one's wife, Rachel v'Tzlan, Chas v'Shalom, Hasahaskir. Not only that, the names conferred upon her children, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all reflect what? Her need to enhance her bonding with her husband. Reuben, Kiro Hashem b'od me, now my husband will love me. Shimon, Kishom Hashem, Kisnu Anochi. Levi, Atah Apam Yilav Eishi Eilai. Reuben was very sensitive to his mother's suffering. When a child observes his mother in pain, what is the first impulse of the child? To bring an object, no matter how insignificant, bring it to my mother. Here, mommy, this is for you. I love you. I care about you. That's how Soloveitchik interpreted the parsha of Dudaim. Yeah, I make sure. Reuben found the flower that he liked, brought it to his mother as a sign that he shared and empathized with her pain and sorrow. Because without using words, he expressed his love, affection, and loyalty for his mother. Many years later, Rachel is still the hostess. Reuben continues to see his mother's plight. Rachel dies. The death is a major blow to Yaakov. We know that from Vayechi. The Torah says that when is Yaakov on his deathbed, Yosef brings some of his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Vani bavoi mipata meisol like Rachel be'eretz Kanan baderech biyolki maseret savu afrasa v'ak v'ya shom baderech atrat hi beislochem. You know the psukim, etc. Reuben also mourned the death of his aunt. Which one do you, how do you say it?
Aunt.
But what he expected did not materialize. He assumed that now his mother, Leah, will assume her rightful position in the household and become the Akaras HaBayis. No longer will her position be a secondary one. So when Yaakov now moves his bed to the tent of Bilhah, Reuben is mortified and decides to rearrange the furniture. Out of respect for his mother, the Torah says, after the incident, Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar, he's still in the galaxy and pantheon of the 12 tribes. And yet despite his lofty motivation to defend the covenant of his mother, the Torah uses a word, Vayishkal! It was an egregious error. It was almost as if a transgression of adultery had been committed. Of course, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kol ha'omer Reuben chata, ain't all I'll tell you.
Is that the very Lishma?
Oh, you want me to compare the sugi nozit to this Gemara and Shabbos? You have to look at the Karen Hara on that sugi to see whether this is
parallel.
I don't think it's parallel, but it needs a separate attention. He's referring to the Gemara and nozit. Dola Avera Lishma, Yemitzvah Zol Lishma, Bayoyal, Eshishchever Akeni, Dav Teira, you're familiar with it. When did Reuben recognize the mistake he made? Said the Rav, Zechenu Lebracha, at the moment of Mechias Yosef. If not for his act, said the Rav, the sale would not have occurred. The brothers revered their father. They loved him profoundly. They wouldn't even have thought of killing their own brother, which is a horrendous and ghastly thought. What caused the chink in the armor? The answer is said the Rav, the public action of Reuben. Shalom Aleichem.
Hey,
Hashem.
Maybe
my shoe.
Sricha.
It's okay. May Hashem
bless you.
Thank
you. It's a good book. It's a very good book. Although Reuben wanted to defend his mother and acted out of kindness and compassion for her, said Rav Soloveitchik, he undermined and negated the authority of Yaakov Avinu, his central position in the home, and that precipitated rebellion and the possibility of thinking of Ritzicha, God forbid, of murdering Yosef. At that moment, Reuben recognized the fruits of his action. And that's when Rashi says, he donned sackcloth and decided he realized he has to do tshuva. I mean, what did Yaakov criticize regarding Reuben? The answer is his impetuosity. Pachas kamayim, al tisa, impulsiveness. That's not in sync with leadership. You're not fit for leadership. In contradiction to Yehuda, who in the moment of crisis took the initiative, boldly confronted Yosef in Vayigash, the viceroy of Egypt.
We did one take.
Let me just. Shalom aleichem. It's a rare schus for me to be able to speak to you.
This is all mine.
Wow. Hashem bless you.
Thank you.
Wow. Are you involved in the 30-year war?
I'm involved.
Milchanto Shotela!
It's definitely a war, I'm losing.
Has Vishom, Has Vishom. Hashem should give me Sati Vishmaya to prevail.
Thank you.
This morning I heard a Shmuz, a Sicha, that went right through me. You also were there.
Oh.
You should hear it. It was Kedai for me to have come to the Yeshiva just for that. And it was Kedai for the Ribbono Shel Olam to create a Rabbi for just for that.
Check it out. Thank you. All right.
By tomorrow we'll talk about it?
Yeah, for sure.
Clean that.
Sounds good, clean that. It's probably another week.
Let me just perhaps won't be able to complete the
fearness.
One significant element of Tivud Abayim is the brotherhood and fraternity between siblings. You know that I mentioned to you earlier that the sale of Mechira Selsim had grave repercussions throughout the millennia, according to Chazal. It's a sin that haunted us. And we mentioned before Asarug and Malchut, and I told you what the Chazal described, the two major transgressions of Klal Yisrael throughout history are Chedra Egel, which is Ben Adam HaMakom, and Mechira Selsim Ben Adam HaMakom. These two areas we are plagued with. But above the heinous crime between man and man, inherent in Mechira Selsim, there's also a violation of Kibbutz Avayim. When siblings live together in harmony, when brothers and sisters respect, love, and cherish each other, that's the greatest nachas ruach to parents. Last night I had the schus of having my entire family, my children and grandchildren, kimat kulam, who came to our house. And Baruch Hashem, they live with Ava v'Achva v'Shalom. No wonder my wife was in tears all night. Because it's a kibbutz, kibbutz avayim. When parents see children who interact with each other so beautifully, the pleasure that we have, the satisfaction, is precisely the ultimate realization of Kibbutz Avayim. So the sale of Yossi by his brothers represented the very antithesis of Kibbutz Avayim. And it was that transgression that demanded expiation and repentance. The breach of Achdus is not only a crime against Yossi, it undermined the entire Shalom Bayis of Yaakov's family, threatening to erode the very foundation. It was a frontal assault on Kibbutz Avayim. And it was that breach that somehow paved the way for the sale of Mechiras Yosef, and therefore It was that commitment to defend and protect at all costs the life of Binyamin and the brothers. That's what Yosef felt constrained to test. That was his intention. It's a din of Shulchan Aruch. You're familiar with that. In Hilchos Yom HaKippur, a person does not grant mechila to someone because they want to be certain that the person actually is contrite and penitent and has done tshuva. You have the right to withhold mechila. Kanireh, that was the kavon of Yosef. I just want to mention, when Yosef was initially sent by Yaakov to inquire to the welfare of his brothers, he encounters a mysterious man. And what is the language? Es achai anoichi mevakesh, which of course can be interpreted homiletically as referring to what? I am seeking my brothers. I'm seeking a brotherhood of fraternity, of mutual love, of respect, a brotherhood which is characterized by mesiras nefesh, where each one is ready to mesiras nefesh one for the other. Of course, what did the ish respond, the mysterious chap? Says Rashi, they've abandoned that brotherly consanguinity. They forgot the dictum of Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei, a dictum that all of us have to be cognizant of, especially people who are in the Riska tradition. Never abandon your family, chas v'shalom. That was that sense of achma that Yosef wanted to resuscitate and ferret out. And therefore Yosef utilized here, this is in response, Moshe, to what you're saying, a stratagem of accusing them of spying, of being meravim. He tried to accentuate their sense of loyalty by driving a wedge between them, by incarcerating Shimon, by then attempting to sequester Binyamin as well. All this was with as a plan. Clearly. In other words, the plan was, once again, to bring the brothers back to a sense of Abba v'Yachva v'Shalom v'Reyes. Yeah, I'll just end with the Beis Halevi that you alluded to, Dani, a moment ago, another one of my favorite Beis Halevis, Masik Midvash v'Nefes Tzufin. Beis Halevi. You're familiar with it. Yehuda came to Yaakov, said, I'll be the Orif. I'm going to guarantee the safety of Binyamin. Yaakov replies to Yehuda, what did you have to tell that guy that you have another brother? And they respond, Vayomer, Shol Shu'al Ish. He asked us, How Rabichem Chai Yishlachem Och? What was Yossi telling them? Yossi was telling them, and here basically, I can almost hear her Asolovichik. That's all.
Are you attached to your brothers? Are you ready to invite the nefesh for them? How would Avichem Chai? Do you realize what you've done to Father? Do you appreciate the magnitude of your lack of kibbutz avim? Is Father really living after your vain behavior?
In Yehuda's narration, Vayigash, so what does Yehuda do? He repeats the whole story. Adoni Shal Asabadalim Hayeshlachem Ogoach, and he answered, Yeshan Odzokim, Yelz Kunim Kodin, and then Yosef responds and identifies himself after they said, we're committed to our father. By the way, in the Sefer Darash Darash Yosef, in Vayigash, there's a piece that is mind-boggling. Beyond mind-boggling. You must read it. Miyad! The most unbelievable piece in the beginning of Vayigash. I didn't discuss it, but Rav Soloveitchik, that's all. Beis Halevi. Can I just end with this? Yosef responds, Vayomer Yosef el Achiv, Ani Yosef Ha'ayim Avichai! Quotes Dani, Lashon Medrash. Gemara says in Chagiga, Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atechacha. Woe to us from the day of judgment. Woe to us from the day of chastisement. He asked the Beis Halevi, what was the nature of this rebuke on the part of Yosef to his brothers when he said, Ani Yosef ha'ayim Avichai? Answered the Beis Halevi the following. Yosef said to them, now you're demonstrating unbelievable fealty, dedicated devotion to Father. Where were you all those years when Father suffered unbelievable anguish over my ancestors? Where was the Kibbutz Avim? Where's your sense of brotherliness? They were rendered mute, speechless. Of course, the Beis Halevi said, "We banish them. Going to come to us and say, why did you give tzedakah? I have family to support. I have expenses." Major expenses! I had to live an aristocratic lifestyle. I had no choice. I had no money. How many times did you go to the Bahamas? How many voyages to Papagayos did you take? Papagayos?
Papagayos.
Ibn Shalom will show us. We are first-class hypocrites. Oy! Then the Beis Halevi. Oy, lo rabbi yamadin! Oy, lo rabbi yamatechoch. What a Beis Halevi. Kitzur, what Yosef had been seeking in his brothers, Asachai and Ochim Mavakish, not simply, as the Rav would say, biological, genetic linkage, but brotherhood that exhausts itself in Avo Me'acho Bishol Berius. Baruch Hashem, that's what exactly had to be restored in the house of Yaakov Avinu, and that's what happens in Parshat Vayigash.
Just a quick proof for that, in Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Chaf Hei, I believe it is. Yeah, Perek Lamed Chaf Hei, in the whole situation of Dina. So the brothers, so Levi and Shimon are called Achei Dina, and Rashi says, because they were most Nefesh for their sister, they were concerned brothers.
Gevaldik! Okay. Even my total manoy should have stopped.